Hello and welcome to CMO Combo, the CMO Alliance podcast where we dive into the biggest issues facing CMOs and top-level marketers. Today, we're welcoming Craig Dunham, CEO of Deepcrawl, and we're discussing the importance of technical SEO to the role of CMOs, but we'll be diving into a fresh angle as Craig shares his perspective on how marketers can frame proposals to their CEOs and why investing in improved technical SEO is a necessity for modern businesses.
Deepcrawl. Savvy CMOs know that SEO has never been a more important part of their marketing mix. Ranking at the top of Google search results has a direct impact on revenue by lowering customer acquisition costs, but content and keyword optimization is only part of the picture. Following recent search engine updates, your overall website health and technical performance are key to ranking well in 2021 and beyond. With Deepcrawl's all-in-one technical SEO and website health platform, your team will have the tools it needs to track your website's technical performance, improve page ranking, and stay top of mind with customers by staying top of the search results in Google. Join leading brands who already use Deepcrawl, including teams at Adobe, eBay, Twitch, PayPal, Microsoft, and Canva. Visit deepcrawl.com to ensure your brand reaches its full revenue potential through the one initiative most marketing teams overlook, technical SEO.
Hi, Craig. Welcome to CMO Combo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Well, how about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm excited for this conversation because we don't get many CEOs, funnily enough, on the CMO Combo podcast, but it's going to be good to get a CEO's perspective on stuff because I feel like we're getting a little bit insulated in the CMO bubble at the moment, so it's good to get some outsider perspectives. I hope you're excited for this conversation as well too, Craig.
No, I certainly am. I feel honored that I think the first is this rumor that I've heard.
Yeah, you are the first. You are the first CEO we've had. Yeah.
I hope I can like live up to the expectation. I can meet the bar that's been set. So I'll do my best here.
So yeah, before we do get down to business, how about you introduce yourself to our audience? Because a lot of them have heard the Deepcrawl message, but maybe it's good to hear who is Deepcrawl? Who is Craig Dunham behind Deepcrawl?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple minutes on my background. Prior to Deepcrawl, I was at I've been fortunate to be at a number of high growth SaaS companies, and so I've spent a good portion of my career focused on marketing technology in particular. And it's been a really fun journey to get here. And my path was, in no ways a sort of straight line to CEO. I've led teams and businesses across a bunch of different functions, including sales and marketing and customer success and product and developers and engineers and sort of more specialized subject matter experts. I've worked a lot actually in financial services throughout my career, and that's sort of where my path began. I did that job that, as a finance major in undergrad or in university, you always want to be an investment banker when you come out of college. That's like the ideal job to get. And so I did that for a couple of years. And at some point during that path, I said, there's got to be a path to happiness that doesn't include 100+ hour work weeks every week. However you define happiness, I knew for me, not against anybody who does that, but for me, that wasn't it. But I did learn a bunch in those first few years. I then transitioned to what was at the time a tiny little financial data company. So it was an adjacent space where my customers were now investment bankers and private equity. And so I was able to use some of those same skills there. I helped to grow that business from, I guess it was about 75 people or so when I joined there in the USA when I started. I helped lead that business through an acquisition by Standard & Poor's. We broadened our operations in the US. I got to spend a bunch of time launching go-to-market operations for Europe. So I spent 5 years in London doing that. Spent some time traveling sort of back and forth from London to Asia, launching our operations there in Hong Kong. And so I got this incredible international experience while at Capital IQ. When I left there, we had grown quite significantly. We had 600 or 700 people outside. We had some data collections operations, but about 600 or 700 people. And so from 75 to 700 was a great, really fun ride. And then I decided I wanted to do it all over again. And so I went to another tiny little company called Seismic, which is sales enablement software. And I was within the first 20 or so employees. And so I primarily ran go-to-market, sales, marketing, really focused on financial services customers. So again, sort of bridging that financial services experience quite a bit. And then we grew that business quite well. I eventually moved into a role where I led an acquisition of ours from Seismic bought another company. That was like the pull I needed to get me out of the financial services sort of, you know, silo. And so I got to work with a bunch of different companies from a bunch of different industries, some B2B, some B2C. That was a really, really fun experience. I left Seismic, about a year ago at this point. And, again, we had grown Seismic from 20 people when I started to about 1500 people when I left over 6.5 years. And so incredible, right? To be part of that, 0.001% of companies that are fortunate enough to do that from a revenue growth and evaluation perspective. And then I think all those experiences really led me to DeepCrawl, right? Because it gave me that foundation I needed to, hopefully guide us, not hopefully, we will, guide us through our next phase of growth. We're going to double down our focus on, providing incredible product that our customers are going to love and they're going to value. We want to make sure we complement that product with, really smart folks who know technical SEO, who know SEO. We're going to have an incredible customer experience team that we're going to leverage to make sure that they're maximizing their value. And I'm just really, really excited about making impact on this business and for our customers in really meaningful ways. So hopefully I gave you enough background of how we got to where we are.
Definitely, definitely. It sounds like you've had your fingers in pretty much everything to do with MarTech that's important to CMOs these days. Before we do get into sort of the nitty-gritty of technical SEO, because that's what we're here to talk about today, maybe we talk about why it was important for you and DeepCrawl to talk to CMOs, because you are sponsoring this podcast, you're sponsoring this episode. I want to be clear to the listeners as well. We're not trying to do anything underhand. You'll have heard the sponsorship message before we get into the episode, but maybe just talk about why it was important for you to talk to CMOs specifically out of anyone in the C-suite.
Yeah, well, this is like a blatantly obvious statement I'm going to make here, but we all know the world is changing, and this, the idea of digital transformation has been discussed for years and years. And I think, we are all quite aware of the fact that it's been accelerated, much of that due to what's happened with COVID. And so, I that part I think is pretty clear and obvious. What the result of that has been, and that we've seen as well, is that there's this focus on like, how do we optimize all these digital channels? And, for us at DeepCrawl, we think about it in the sense of, what I've been saying is often the first and most impressionable of those digital channels is the website. And it's one of the things that DeepCrawl does. It enables folks to be able to assess how well they're doing in that technical foundation, and how fast is their website, how easy is it for Google to sort of find that website and rank it highly in its search results and those sorts of things. And so, I think it's just really important for CMOs to sort of understand the importance of that technical foundation. Oftentimes, because of the technical complexities of it all, they tend to focus on content and keyword as like the part of SEO that's most important. But really, without that foundation, like lame, cheesy analogy coming, like you got to build a foundation before you can build a house on top. That kind of thing is really what we're trying to do here at DeepCrawl.
Because I think a lot of, well, I'm assuming all CMOs are familiar with SEO as a concept, but a lot of that has to do with, as you said, content. It's to do with getting your content, getting yourself up the Google rankings with content. So what's technical SEO? Let's get down to basics. Like, what is technical SEO? You mentioned a little bit, it's about Google being able to find your website well, but what does that actually mean?
Yeah. So let's call it the textbook definition says, it is a discipline that leverages technology to ensure that a website can meet the technical requirements of search engines, so Google, Bing, et cetera, right? With the goal that we want to drive better organic search results. And so we often will talk about the importance of technical SEO, in context of its impact to the overall business. We'll sometimes talk about that in the context of things that I think most of our listeners or your listeners are going to be very familiar with. It's like a funnel. And what is that SEO funnel? And how does technical SEO support that SEO funnel? And we describe it oftentimes as like the funnel is the path to revenue, right? And that path to revenue really starts from the creation of a URL through to a user interacting with that URL, and then that URL eventually converting to revenue. And it has to pass through a bunch of stages. And so it needs to be discovered by your search engine. The search engine needs to crawl that URL. It needs to ensure that URL can render properly. It needs to then index that URL, and then it can be ranked. And the customer has to sort of love that experience when it gets to that URL, and then it'll ultimately convert to revenue, right? And so, you know, as you think about the experience through the funnel, in the context of a website, it is like, you know, if a website can't be discovered, it won't be crawled by Google or whatever your search engine is of preference. If it can't be crawled, it won't be indexed. If it can't be, rendered or may not render properly, then it won't be indexed by Google properly. If it can't be indexed, then it won't appear in Google's index to be then ranked. If it can't index, it won't rank. If, you know, if there's no traffic, then, you know, maybe an obvious statement, it can't convert then to revenue. And so we sort of think about it through that lens and understanding how there's a bit of a snowball effect or knock-on effect through that funnel, and you've got to get that technical piece right. And so we give you a bunch of tools to really measure how you're performing across that funnel. And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So the tools, is it something that CMOs can have an effect on with tools, or is it just about seeing what is going wrong and then trying to work out from there? Like, are those the kinds of tools that we're talking about here? Is it just like getting a picture of what's going wrong, or is it actually tackling the actual problems that need to be tackled?
Yeah, great question. So we try to help prioritize the things that are most important for them to tackle. And so, you know, we think about the technology in, call it three ways, right? The first of which is understand what's going on. And then we'll give you a report and a ranking that'll tell you, you know, here are the things that are most important. Here's what you should focus on. Here's your priorities. And we've got a bunch of like in-house technical SEOs who can help support this as well. And then having an understanding of what's most important and what the impact of those changes are will enable CMOs to then talk to their folks on the dev side of the house who are controlling the code releases, who are doing the web development, and help them sort of prioritize the fixes that are needed in order to drive the biggest impact on the business. And so there's helping to sort of bridge this gap between the CMO and, you know, the CEO or the head of web development or whomever, whatever that role happens to be. And then we give you a bunch of connectors that says, okay, well, I've got all this great data. Now, how do I visualize that data? How do I make sure that, you know, it gets the visibility up through the business as well? And so, you know, we try to help give our customers the ability to facilitate that process.
Okay, so we visualize the problems, we've tackled the problems. When do we start seeing the benefits of improving technical SEO? Because that's always going to be the issue, is that like we need to do the work to tackle the problems. When do we start seeing the gains from it?
Yeah, it is such a hard thing to quantify. But it is in some ways a bit of a longer term play. And, you know, the thing that I would, you know, caution, you know, marketing leaders against is this, you know, over-reliance on, you know, like short-term ROI that's often gained from like paid search. And, you know, we can talk about that a little more, but, you know, in when we think about technical SEO, you know, this is a, you know, 6 to 9 month sort of game here where you're building the foundation, you're improving organic. Over time, you start to see that investment in organic have, you know, sort of exponential or compounding returns relative to what you get from like a paid search, which is like for every dollar I spend, I now acquire a new customer. But in order to acquire a new customer, I've got to spend another dollar, so to speak, right? And, you know, we all know that it's a lot more than a dollar. So it can get really expensive. And so for us, it's all about, hey, let's build a foundation. Let's get your organic traffic up to a place that is, you know, hits whatever targets or goals you're aiming for. And then you'll start to see the growth in customers expand exponentially as a result of that, because you're not paying more to acquire those customers.
Then the problem is with a lot of CMOs, particularly ones in sort of early stage, high growth companies, they need those quick wins. They need to have those quick improvements. They need to show how they're driving revenue to the CEO, particularly when they don't have the luxury of waiting 9 months for returns, particularly when the CMOs have like the shortest tenure of any people in the C-suite. They have to show results as fast as possible to secure their jobs. So that's basically what the conversation is going to be about today, is how can CMOs sort of communicate the benefits of these long-term strategies to CEOs. I know you're a CEO who's kind of bought into the technical SEO.
I'm a little biased, maybe.
Maybe a little bit, just a little bit. But getting your perspective, I think, is going to be very valuable. And the types of conversations that your CMO has with you about sort of long-term strategies and stuff like that. Go on, Craig. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, like, I want to be clear. I am not telling CMOs to stop investing in paid search, to use the example we just talked about. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in the long run, businesses will be much better off by diverting a bunch of that budget today that's dedicated to paid search to drive better organic, because in the long run, they'll see a significant reduction in their cost of acquiring customers. And so the way, I hate giving an answer like it depends, right? But there are a bunch of factors that are unique to every business to assess and determine how much of that they should think about diverting over into driving more sustainable long-term growth. Part of it in terms of selling it internally is really about education and, helping to ensure that the leaders of the organization, your CEO, in the case of a CMO, understands the impact that something that is, can be fairly highly technical, but translate those highly technical terminologies into business impact, into returns, into things that they would understand, like, hey, we're, because of this, we're ranking higher in the search results. Because of this, we are seeing more site visitors. Because of the experience that those site visitors have, we're noticing an increase in conversion rates of people coming to our site. And therefore, you can start to make some very reasonable assumptions on, what is the revenue impact of this sort of investment and when you'll start to see the return and set the expectation. And I think, most good CEOs, try to be empathetic to their CMOs and will help to, help to sort of educate them to understand the balance of sort of driving both of these acquisition channels.
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, ideally you want both running in tandem. Like, you don't want to just abandon.
We do paid search as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah, right here, right now, you've got CEO and SEO company saying we do paid as well. Like, there is room for both within pretty much any organization can have both running. It's just about working out, as you said, which percentage of the investment you should be putting into it. So let's dive into sort of like the discussions that CMOs can have with CEOs about technical SEO and like how to move the needle in that respect towards getting the buy-in. Like, because the focus on quick wins, that can often come from, they can be dictated from this by the CEO. They'll say, we need to hit these targets as soon as possible. How can you say to them, listen, we need to take a step back from these growth goals that you've said we've got to reach and invest in something that's a bit more long-term? Like, it doesn't matter that we've got VC meetings coming up, we've got investors coming in, like, we've got to have these numbers to show. It's better for us to have these long-term goals instead.
Yeah. So for me, I think a lot of it, we oftentimes want to see and understand, just like make things as quantifiable as completely possible. The thing is, when we look at the data does suggest that most CMOs actually agree with exactly what it is that I'm saying, as a premise, right? We ran a survey, I guess it was maybe early this year, in which 89% of marketers in that survey agree that organic search is what's driving revenue in the future. Like, everyone agrees. Part of it is, I think it really does come back to just like ensuring your CEO really understands that SEO funnel. Like they understand why this is important to really get that foundational piece of your website correct. The other thing that I think is starting to resonate more is the idea of customer experience and the impact on customer experience, and people care a whole lot about that. And so if I'm the CEO, it may be harder for me to understand crawlability and indexability of Google and, you know, and bots and all, like maybe I don't get any of that, but I do understand that the experience that my customers have or my potential customers have when they come to my website matters a whole lot in terms of the decisions they make. I do care that, you know, the times it takes for pages to load on my site, especially on the key revenue generating pages, you know, those few, I do care that the users who come there have an incredible experience and it's fast and it's performant. And, you know, at the very least, it's better than my competitors, right? I do care about those things. And so it's really, I got a piece of advice one time from someone when I, you know, super American, move over to London. And, I'm talking with my boss in the UK, who is also an American guy. And, you know, he's using British English rather than like, you know, American English. And there's certain terminology and words. And I remember laughing at him like, dude, why are you talking like this? Like, what's going on? He's like, Craig, you got to speak to be understood, right? And if people don't understand what you're saying, then it doesn't really matter. And so I think of that advice that I got, and I apply that here. It's like, speak to your CEOs in language that they understand, things that they care about. And I think you'll find a hell of a lot more success in driving the initiatives that you think as a CMO really, really matter.
I definitely like the idea of thinking about in terms of customer experience, because search engine optimization, it puts the focus on search engines and doing it to please Google, when really it is about doing it to make it easier for your customers, for your audience to find your products, to find what you're offering. I really like that angle. It's very interesting. Is that going to form sort of like the foundation of the argument? And then you said maybe you need some quantifiable things. You need some metrics to show. What are those metrics you can show when it comes to techno SEO? Like you said site loads, site speed. Yeah. Is that a good metric to show?
Yeah. So so site visitors is probably the most foundational, right? How many people are coming? We also try to help our customers just understand sort of the volume of, you know, I'll give a few very specific examples, right? The volume of broken links on pages, right? Like not a metric that you often will think of, but, you know, if you click on a web page and it takes you to an error, you may never go back to that website again. And so, you know, some of those metrics will start to track, and you want to reduce that to as little as possible. You also want to make sure you don't have a bunch of pages that are duplicates of each other, because then Google gets confused, like which one is the one that I should actually be surfacing, right? You want to make sure you don't have a whole lot of those. Some other more tangible things are, you know, things like, you know, having like images that are the right size for the page, because if you have an image that's too large, unnecessarily large, then all of a sudden your page takes too long to load. So site speed becomes a challenge. And, you know, users, you know, we don't have a lot of attention now. Our attention spans are very short these days. And so if a page takes too long to load, you're off on, you know, some other website looking at something else, or you're on your phone texting your buddies or whatever you're doing. And so, you know, we need to make sure websites can really perform at the speed in which users are expecting. And I'll say one last thing, which I think is the right kind of validation around this, is that, you know, Google, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, they announced and implemented like a change to their algorithm, which was a really meaningful change. It's called Core Web Vitals, but it essentially, it's them saying that, you know, they're going to take a bunch of 4 key factors, and these factors are going to determine what's called a page experience score. And that score is going to help determine how findable and rankable is your website. And so, so looking at some of those metrics that determine that page experience score also go a long way.
The algorithm thing, the Google algorithm thing, that is one of the things that I think some CMOs have misconceptions about when it comes to
to SEO, because they're still thinking of like the old school Google algorithms where it is all about keyword density. It is all about just getting like those long tail keywords and stuff like that, where it is more about the experience now. And I think communicating that to a CEO is going to be very effective. Like, because at the end of the day, your website is your first, it's your customer first call of customer service, your first call of sales, first call, pretty much everyone's first port of call when it comes to any kind of brand is to interact with the website first.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And look, and you know, I will be the first to tell you that, you know, there are people at our organization who have been SEOs for 10, 12, 15, 20 plus years. And so I certainly won't begin to get into the nuanced details of Core Web Vitals and what it means and all those, the four key factors. That certainly isn't an area that I can deeply speak to, but you know, we like to help our customers understand and help them tell the story and help them craft the narrative. And so, you know, a lot of our customers have in-house technical SEOs or work with an agency to help them, but it is important to make sure that you can sort of articulate that in a way that's easier to understand. And so, yeah, it's, you know, how secure is my site? How, you know, is it mobile friendly? Does it perform well? You know, those are the factors that are really starting to drive or impact Google's algorithm, which in general is a bit of a black box. It's really hard to interpret.
Yeah, I mean, Google's not going to release all the secrets. That make it far too easy. No. For us, wouldn't it? Like, got to give us something to work towards.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the conversation with the CEO. But then there are probably impacts on the wider business as well, like to communicate, like who else is going to benefit beyond the marketing department with a good technical SEO audit?
Yeah. Great question. So, you know, we often find that, you know, it is, the folks in, you know, web development specifically that also are a pretty major stakeholder in this. And, you know, sometimes it is hard to get those folks to understand or think about SEO as they're developing, writing code for the website. It's not at the top of the mind. The top of their mind are really around, like, what are the additions I need to the website? What are the changes, whether it's, you know, cosmetic changes, et cetera. Like, that's where they're focused. They're not necessarily focused on the impact to SEO. And so, you know, again, not to keep coming back to the education piece, but there is a bit of a, hey, you know, let's take some time and be empathetic towards each other and help you understand why this matters to the business overall and why you should be thinking about those things as part of your normal workflow. And, you know, we try to play a role in helping with that by, you know, enabling some, you know, technology tools that enables, you know, developers to have their code go through a quick little QA process before it actually hits the website. And so, you know, we can set some thresholds, and those thresholds will say, hey, if it will impact these metrics in these ways, then we should, you know, pause the release potentially, or we should at least flag that it may impact in a certain way. And so it's a way for, you know, developers to be more proactive and for marketing teams to be more proactive about managing their SEO, as opposed to like something bad happening. I somehow broke one of my biggest revenue generating pages, and all of a sudden it's a $20 million impact. Let's prevent that from happening in the first place. And so, you know, educating your organization about the impact, potential impact of this, is usually a good place to start. And so product managers, web developers, you know, CTOs, et cetera, you know, you need to get in front of those folks and really start to lay the groundwork for why this is important for the business overall.
It'll probably have an impact on sort of like non-technical sides of business. So like the sales department, for example, like, if you're saying we're diverting some of the investment from paid leads into this technical SEO audit, you'll have to communicate the benefits of that in the long run, how it's going to make their lives easier. It's going to make it easier for potential leads to find like lead nurturing content on the website. It's going to make it easy to find the products that they're looking for as well. Definitely.
I think that's absolutely right. And I'll take it one step further from that as well, which is, you know, the journey that customers go on, they're 60, 70% down that journey, usually, at least in the context of B2B, and oftentimes in B2C, before they ever talk to a person, a rep, or, you know, engage with a brand, right? They're down that journey. And so, you know, to the extent that you can get your sales leaders in the context of B2B selling enterprise, as an example, to understand and value the importance of those prospects having an incredible experience with your brand before they get in front of your account execs, helping them to understand that, I think, goes a long way in getting their buy-in for what it is that you as the CMO are proposing that we do to drive a better experience with the website. And then, you know, it's also the data that comes out of it, right? You know, there's just, you know, you're capturing all kinds of, really valuable insights on where people are clicking and how people are clicking and where they're spending the most time and what are the things they value the most and what are the pages that they're spending the most time on and how they value that. And that, again, starts to translate into, understanding what they value, which can then further aid a seller in providing, very highly tailored or customized solutions that'll meet the needs of what it is they're valuing the most.
Yeah, I often find these kinds of processes, what they're really good for is getting rid of the assumptions that you might have about anything to do with your business. It gets rid of your assumptions about the usability of your website. It gets rid of the assumptions you have about how your customers behave, what they're interested in, what they're actually looking at. You talked about where they're clicking, heat maps. Oh my God, the first time I saw a heat map for a website, it blew my mind.
Boom, I love it, yeah.
You have no idea how they're actually going to use your website until you actually get it down into the nitty gritty, like technical details. And it's such a valuable tool, such a valuable 100%.
Tool. Yeah. And we often will encourage our customers to do that, you know, which is what you just described. It's like, what are the 10, 20, 50, in the case of some of our larger clients, what are the 100,000 most important URLs? And let's make sure we optimize those first, because that's going to have the biggest impact. It helps to drive the priorities. And, you know, I think it's just, as a CMO, it's just important to know what they are. Like, you know, forget doing anything about them. Just step one, know what they are, and then worry about optimizing them later.
Identify, then optimize is the way to go, definitely. Yeah. So this isn't just a one and done process, though, is it? It's an ongoing process. You've got to continuously monitor. How often should you be doing an audit for technical SEO? Like, is it something you need to be monitoring constantly, or is it something you dip into like once a month, once a quarter? What's your advice in that respect?
Yeah, so at least once a quarter. Most of our more successful customers are doing this weekly, monthly crawls of their website. Part of it also depends on your release schedule. And so if you're an e-commerce platform, as an example, that's constantly putting out new pages, new product, et cetera, then you might want to think about doing this on a daily, weekly basis, just because the amount of changes, the amount of code that's going to your site is frequent and, you know, at a high volume. So, you know, for those kinds of businesses, the frequency of running audits and monitoring what's happening on your sites. And, you know, as you think about, you know, the larger organizations with a bunch of different domains and a bunch of different countries and a bunch of languages and, you know, like the size and scale of this problem just, you know, can get fairly large. And so you want to just constantly be, you know, scanning your sites to make sure that they're in good health and they're performing really well.
Awesome. So we've covered quite a bit in a relatively short space of time. I think it's worth us going over again, sort of like what we've talked about to make sure we're clear with the messaging that we're putting out to people. So let's start with what's the golden rule of technical SEO, like, and why it's needed? Like, why is it needed for websites and brands these days?
Yeah, most important reason is you need to make sure that search engines can find your website, can index your website, and that it ranks higher in the search results page. Second thing that's most important is to make sure that then when customers get to those pages, that they have an incredible experience, that it's fast, highly performant, and the users enjoy their time on your website.
And that customer experience side, is that that's the message to communicate? That's the golden rule to communicate to CEOs.
Communicate to CEOs, correct?
Okay, and then. Let's talk about the big ultimate benefit. Like, what is the purpose of this project in the long term for the entire brand, the entire business? Like, what is the big driving message to drive this kind of project?
Yeah, I say two things. One, lower cost of acquisition, customer acquisition in the long run is meaningfully valuable for organizations to do, and so it will help with that. And then also, again, to come back to the customer experience piece, is you'll start to see increased conversion rates, i.e., increased revenue from having a technically sound, foundationally sound website as well.
Awesome. So you did mention that there is some more technical details to do with technical SEO. Shocking, I'm sure.
Yes.
What are the resources where our listeners could go and find some more information on this? Like, what are some good places to start if they need to do a bit more of a deep dive into technical SEO?
Yeah, I think I'm allowed to shamelessly plug
Deep. You're sponsoring the episode. You can plug as much as you want, Craig.
So we released a couple ebooks recently that I think are worthwhile reading if you're starting on your SEO journey or technical SEO journey. One, we did a survey. I referenced it once or twice throughout our conversation. We partnered with eConsultancy. So if you just search, but I'm thinking best I can do. If you search eConsultancy Deep Crawl, the Digital Future Report, you'll be able to find that pretty easily, or just go to our website. Also, we released a guide. It's called the CMO's Guide to Growth in the Search First Age. And it really hammers home some of the points that we discussed about paid versus organic, and how to think about the finding that balance and really driving your organization to finding that balance. And so there's a little bit more details there. Also, we are just on the cusp of launching a quick and easy diagnostic tool around health scoring for your website. And we're going to produce a quick little report just to let you know how you stack up from a web health perspective. And so I say stay tuned to Deep Crawl for more details on that report and how you can get a little diagnostic on how well you're performing.
Awesome. I've read a few of the resources. They are super valuable, super important, mainly in preparation for this episode, because I had nothing to know. I knew nothing about technical SEO. I'm a content writer. That's not my thing. But I can really see the benefit of it now, like having read some of the materials and talking to you as well, Craig, of course. And I'm sure our audience as well will be interested in doing a bit more of a deep dive into the technical side of SEO. Like, it's not just keyword density, ladies and gentlemen. It's far more than that. It's far more important. Thank you for joining us today, Craig, and thank you for being our first CEO on the site. I wish we had like some like poppers to like go off or something like that. But sadly.
It has been really fun. I really do feel honored. I think the work that you all are doing at CMO Alliance is great and it's helpful. And I've listened to a bunch of your episodes as well, and I've learned a few things here and there as well. And so, thank you for having me on. I do feel honored to be the one to break the CMO
guest list. Well, thank you, Craig. Who knows? Maybe we'll have some more CEOs on in the future, but you'll always be our first. So thank you very much for that.
And no problem.
And thank you for our listeners as well. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with more CMO combos.